Hey. Hey there. This is the time that we enter into the journey. What journey? The journey. I'm talking about Rusty James. Downtown Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Downtown.
I'm talking about quiet-mouthed soothsayers.
Mickey Rourke.
That reek of violence, but no display.
Ooh, he is terrifying.
Yeah, he's a true psycho fucking path.
He is.
Yeah. This is your favorite fucking podcast.
Your absolute favorite.
Your favorite goddamn fucking podcast.
We're glad to be back.
We're Pocket Cast!
That was way too loud.
It was way too loud. That's going to be such a pain to edit. I just kind of want to... We're recording in a new venue tonight.
We're in a new venue. We're doing kind of a new thing. Change is in the air.
So much change, dude.
And change comes with time.
And fucking wish it came with more time sometimes.
Sometimes. But usually change comes at a quick pace of time. And it is interesting. I was thinking about this. This movie is largely about those two things. And our podcast for this episode has changed in the wildest direction.
Oh, yeah.
We're on back to audio only.
Yeah. Oh, what a blast from
the
past.
We're not doing an online recording. We're not doing a live recording. No stream.
Yeah, no stream. No video.
We're in a new venue. Probably the venue we're going to keep doing it in. Imagine.
I think so.
I like this. Yeah. And then we didn't play the game. That's not new, right? But that's like... We have discussed a change because we have slacked lately a lot.
Our adult lives are changing. Yeah. We're grown-ass men with not much time.
Not a lot of time.
And
we've been spending it in different ways.
We have been doing different things. We have not been doing podcasty things.
No. I mean,
some of us more or less than others.
As a bar owner, I guess I have plenty of things that could be podcasty things.
You could just do a podcast. You could fill an hour a day, probably.
I would probably just talking about what happened, right?
You think any of these schmucks listen to your podcast?
I mean, some of them could.
I can actually think of like five or six off the top of my head. Probably like simulcast it.
Yeah, and then like, did you hear? And then everyone hears the one episode where we just let loose,
dude. If you could listen to one episode of our lackluster podcast, it would be the Jankum episode, I think. That's a top runner for me all day. That's a good one. The riffs were strong. We were just fucking on one.
It came into mind the other day because the sewage backed up in my basement.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Stupid fucking shower that we don't use down there. And that was a cool noise.
Sweetest noise I've ever made with an alcoholic beverage.
So as I was trying to shovel out sewage... Just getting fucked up, you know.
Just getting mad.
Just getting like intoxicated off of these fumes, and the most
foul.
Disgusting. Yeah, foul. Like you just feel sick and nauseous, and
that
I'm just like,
sucks, dude. Literally.
Fucking Jankum, dude. Like it comes back. That was your comes first back thought. All the time.
Yeah, I
it's
think
not
about Jankum
that you
often.
Want to come
honestly,
back to you.
But only since we recorded that episode, because like I was aware of Jankum, I knew of it, the word, its etymology, the substance behind it, like I knew of it. I never thought of
it
though.
Haunt you.
That information just like hung out and took every day
me.
Off
from the day that I found out about it. It haunted me knowing that people did it. Haunted me. Speaking of hauntings, did I tell you about the chick that dropped off art here? Or no sorry, she didn't drop off art here, she's picking art up from here.
Damn, you just slinging art now?
No,
you're just an art middleman.
So I didn't tell you about this. So my buddy Tom lives in Lincoln.
Yes.
And he's moving into this house. He's renting this house he's living in. And in the attic, he found all this stuff, like a longboard, paintings, spices, a lot of stuff. You
just
know?
Found a cool, like,
some cool
dead
paintings
Wiccan stuff.
Too. And so we asked the landlord about it. And she goes, yeah, she just, like, took off one day or, you know, something along those lines. And so he looks her up, and she lives in Scotts Bluff.
Oh, no shit.
Or is from Scotts Bluff or something. And so she's in Scotts Bluff. He goes, I'm going to come back to Sydney for a family thing. I'll bring the stuff and meet up with you. She never shows up, right? And as he's telling us the story of her, it just, like, it sounds like artists are usually kind of flaky people, right? Like, it's just
as
like,
a rule.
Yeah. Like, you have to be kind of loose in the wind.
Yeah. There must be a certain amount of whimsy.
Yes. Absolutely.
In one's life to be considered an artist.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%.
So I'm like, she's either whimsical or she's a ghost. And so she
a ghost with real paintings. And let's be honest.
Are the paintings the haunted part?
Are they what?
Are the paintings the haunted part?
Did she manifest?
She eventually manifested.
What?
Yes.
Here?
Yes.
She Holy
drove
shit.
A car here. And
oh, very ghostly of her.
She manifested here. You asked that question. She did. She did it.
All right.
She did
right.
come hither.
She did come hither.
Come hither into the universe onto my stoop of a step.
My stoop of a step.
My stoopy step.
Stoop step.
So she picked up all of her stuff except for her big paintings and her longboard.
Really?
Because she didn't feel like she had room in her car for it.
Oh, that's too bad.
And then I'm like,
do you get to keep them?
Well, she never got back to me. And she was supposed to come back, and then she disappeared again. And so
like
I'm like,
a ghost.
She's a ghost.
100% she's a ghost. She's a ghost. Ghosts technically do not possess items. Therefore, it sounds like, my friend, you just inherited some art and a longboard from a dead girl.
Well, she's showing up tomorrow to pick up the rest of her stuff.
God damn it, dude. Pick a lane, ghost. Damn, is art cool?
Yeah, I'll just show you some of it. Yeah, cool. Some of it, I think, I mean, I'm some of it's not for me, but some of it, I mean, I think it's all impressive. But
yeah.
There's one that's Luigi Mangione.
Oh, okay. Oh, shit. All right,
and
some
so,
current shit.
So the Luigi is a small portrait, black and white portrait. It's great. I liked it. I saw it, and I first thought Lou Reed is who it looked like. And I was like, I can't tell who this guy is. It must just be some dude she knows. And then I just kept seeing it. Be like, man, this is just like his face is just getting like the way that it's sitting in my storage room back there. Mm-hmm. It's just getting burnt into my brain. Right. And I'm just enjoying it the more that I see it. And I kind of recognize him and I can't figure out why. So maybe it really is Lou Reed or I don't know. Maybe it's just a recognizable face.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And so then the door opens one time back there and someone goes, why you got a picture of Luigi back there?
Luigi. You got my boy Luigi.
Like, oh,
up
is
here.
That who it looks like? And they're like, no, that doesn't just look like him, man.
That is
him. And I was like, no, I don't think so, because this has happened like over a year ago. You know, so like, I mean,
holy shit,
like,
was that a year ago?
No, like all this stuff went down, like the paintings being, but so it turns out though, it is him. And I must have misconstrued it. It wasn't that she lived there a year ago, it was that she lived there last year or like.
Oh, okay.
Right.
All
right.
All right.
Yeah. All right. So, but in my brain, last year, you
one year
back.
Ago. Yeah. One calendar year.
One calendar year.
Yeah, no, I hear
this
that.
Very date.
To the moment.
Yeah, so she's showing up, but I did ask her about it, and I'm going to purchase it off of her.
Ooh.
Because
wait, the longboard or the painting?
The painting. I don't give a fuck. I have my
own. The Luigi painting?
Yeah, the Luigi. The Luigi one. That's the only one that I want.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Unless she's got like a fat fucking thicked up Donkey Kong somewhere in there. That's
fat thicked up Donkey Kong. Just mad cheeks.
Dude, okay, so I don't have zero artistic like skill or tolerance, but I'm super out of practice, and I'm too much of a OCD perfectionist to like actually sit down and try, because I just get upset and shapes don't do what I want for shapes to happen, and so therefore mad shapes. So I don't draw, but all that to say,
you are good at drawing though. You are I've heard you discredit yourself multiple times, but you are good at drawing. You're good at shading.
The one thing I am good at is discrediting myself. Like, I am my own.
Yeah, you know, you are also good at drawing. That's the second thing you are good at. You are good at degrading yourself.
I am.
But that's also what happens when you enjoy it. So
I do. I'm a masochist.
Yeah. Any hoodle.
This idea of I swore to myself I would never forget the man's name, because I always just wanted to credit him solely for his existence and his legacy. But the fucking black dude on the edge of the bed with the fucking fattest cock you've ever seen that circulated around COVID.
Yep, yep, yeah. Yep.
Okay. I can't remember his name. Look him up. There's a whole story behind him. He motherfucker was like the patron saint of his little town or whatever. God bless. He's dead though. But anyway, homie's got the fattest fucking cock. He did a little bit of light porn, right? Donkey Kong though, as that, with just his meat hanging off the bed. I want to make that happen.
Oh, feels.
But like it feels like it could. That should. Maybe.
I'll tell you what, you can hang that up in your bar.
Damn it.
That's not going up in my bar.
Did we ever even actually, like, in as many words, say that we are actively recording in the bar?
I feel know. Like we said that we were in a new venue, but I heard
we talked about the fact that you're a bar owner and have
yes,
a bar.
Yes, but you are right, but we did not say we are actually in the bar.
This
yes,
is
we are
the
in.
Most comfortable I've ever been while recording a session.
This is
I am legit
this.
Just chilling.
Yes, this
it's
is
great.
It's so comfortable. People love this place. And it is fun to see people. I had a really Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
Friday night. I don't fucking remember.
Sure.
Friday night. It was Friday night. I had a pretty filled place. I mean, it wasn't like overpacked. It was just that all the seats were, you know, filled up. People are sitting at the bar, but it's like everyone's talking, but still a chill. No one's too loud.
Yeah.
There's some music playing. Someone picks up a bass and he starts fucking jamming on it, sitting at his table with people, and people start singing along. And then, you know, the tables are kind of interacting, and everyone's just having a good time. You could just see it's just a good fucking night. No one's too drunk or anything.
Everyone's just chilling.
And I just had the biggest like wave of like tingly feel good.
Yeah.
Of like, yeah.
Endorphins
dude,
just
this
slamming
is like,
into
yeah,
first base.
This is what I want.
Hell
this is
yeah,
awesome.
Dude,
this
so
is the
awesome.
This is the dream coming into play.
Dude, I'm so happy to hear that, man. Yeah. And like
being surrounded by books in here. And it's a shame that we don't have the video set up. It's like the one time that I'm like, oh.
I will really want video. Really we want will video. Have it figured out for the
yes,
next one.
Absolutely.
100%. I will not let that not happen. Yeah. The biggest crime of this podcast is that people cannot see what this place looks like. It's such a fucking vibe. And
there's normally no reason to look at us, honestly. There's no reason to watch
if, yeah,
it over
you,
listen to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, tell your friends. Tune into the next episode. Fuck this one. To the next one, so you can see the bar and it's fucking fire.
Yes, it looks great.
It's super great. You've been selling some books, dude.
I did. Yeah, I had a great.
God
I had a
damn.
Great month last month.
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah,
that's
was,
awesome.
I'm always impressed when this is the first time. I say always, but this is the first time. I'm extremely impressed when there's a month with really good book sales. Like, yeah. Damn. Good for you, Sydney.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah. You reading ass,
you
literate ass town. Fuck yeah.
I mean, 99% women. 99%.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah,
men, do better. Read
yeah,
a fucking book.
Really, yeah.
I say that and like I consider myself well-read, but if I'm being honest, 99% of my well-readedness comes from like the first 20 years of my life. And then nothing.
Nothing after. Well, yeah. I mean, there's bits here and there.
I read
but
bits.
Nothing compared to.
No, God, no.
I've obviously picked up my reading again. I was already reading at a decent pace, you know, but now I've been reading a lot more.
You know what worked really well for me? Kindle for my phone.
Kindle, I couldn't do on my phone, but Kindle itself. I should not say this in here.
Yeah, as somebody that
as
owns,
someone
a book
owns
bar.
A book bar. Luckily, I mainly write on the bar side, right? But if you're reading, you're fucking reading, and I'm about it. So,
same.
A Kindle for me, I can read so much faster on than I can a physical book. I'm a
no
slow reader, and for whatever reason, I can read faster on a Kindle, but not the backlit. The backlit instantly on my phone or on a Kindle it fucks me up.
Really?
Yeah, I don't.
You know what's going to really piss you off?
You crank it.
Tiny ass font.
Oh, that doesn't bother me. If you can do it, do it. But,
okay, cool.
I mean, that's just not good for your eyes.
My eyes are fucking worth it. I've got this, like, my eyes are the strongest. And I don't mean, like, best. I mean, from like, a
strongest.
Musculature definition.
They are the strongest.
Strongest organs in my body.
The strongest eyeballs. Like, the strongest organ in your body is probably not that strong.
Compared to my eyes? to my eyes, dude. My eyes would win in a fucking arm wrestle.
How do you know?
I've done it. Damn, the lies are really starting to stack up. This escalated very quickly.
Yeah, prove it.
Prove it?
Yeah, it looks like.
In an audio format? Sure. All day, I will absolutely do that for you.
Damn it.
Get fucked, idiot.
Fuck, man, that was impressive. I don't know how he does it.
Damn, y'all should have seen that shit. That was tight. That's
crazy. So, would you like to talk about first? I think I want to save the movie for last.
I do too.
I'm just fuck a transition.
We're a DS podcast. Let's talk about DS things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a good time playing the game?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
I take that back. I enjoyed the tutorial.
Did you?
And then
the tutorial pissed me the fuck off. Dude, when you had to run like down the tent. It glitched and it wouldn't print the instructions on the screen, and I missed it the first time.
For the first, like the very beginning.
Very fucking beginning.
Yeah, mine too.
Okay,
mine
cool. Too. Yeah, glad to know. Yeah. And I couldn't figure something and it just kept respawning me back at the beginning.
Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah, right, that happened to me too. Yeah, that was a repeat glitch for sure. But then you restart it and you get past it.
Okay, yeah. All right, cool.
So I didn't like once you get into the first level and you realize, oh, this isn't a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
This is a shooter on rails, like an arcade point and shoot at whatever comes up. Because like you have very little – you have control over your character, but you have very little control over where your character can go.
Yeah, you're
because
like –
because if you go out of where it wants you to go, they kill you.
Yeah.
You need to stay in this spot and peek up and shoot and get down and peek up and shoot.
It's the DS version of those arcade – systems that they had like the pedal to like to get to, like, in and out of cover or whatever. It's the DS version of that.
It is totally,
which I didn't even think that the shooting was rewarding or
not
satisfying.
At all. No,
I felt like
it was frustrating.
Oh, it was frustrating because like the sniper rifle does not give a fuck where you aim. It will kill anything. You just have to be like almost there.
I don't think I used the sniper.
Yeah, I was like, dude, sniping this could be a lot of fun. Because to the DS's credit, reactiveness and the response rate, the overall feel of playing a first person and controlling with the stylus feels so good.
It does.
The rest of it is a little clunky and awkward, but like, it's truly an asset. Like it is PC level of,
I wonder, like,
snappiness.
I wonder how this game fared on online play, because I could see that being a different story on gameplay.
I could see online play being fucking fire. Actually,
I could see that being a blast, because I was like quite impressed with, I mean, it felt like not as good as, what's the name of the games that we love?
Dementium?
Yes, Dementium. It felt not as good as Dementium, but the field of view was larger.
True, yeah.
And I liked that. And it did feel close to Dementium's controls.
It honestly did.
But it just gave you no way to use it. And I know, maybe if we got past the first level, because let's be honest, Ed.
I did not play
it. I stopped playing it so fucking quick, dude.
Yeah.
And like you said, we have other things going on. And so when I have, you know, an hour of free time, that's really not free time, but it's sleep time that I'm deciding to sacrifice.
Right.
Then, yeah, I'm not playing this fucking game. It sucks.
It's tough.
Could not recommend it. Play Dementium. You know,
play a different game.
I don't know. I would like to play a game, a first-person shooter where you have people that shoot back.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was hoping to really enjoy out of World at War. Is that what? World at War.
Played. Yeah, that's really unfortunate. I was excited for, not Dementium. I didn't think it was going to be Dementium. But I did think it was going to be
a
decent shooter.
Especially when your tutorial has like everyone talking to you right away. I felt like there was maybe a little bit of money put into it.
Yeah, and then that's kind of where that left off.
That's why I said I liked the tutorial. I really did.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Once I got past the thing that I guess we both actually experienced that was absolute
dog
shit. But I
guess also the tutorial was a pretty good example of like, yes, this entire game is a shooting range.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, actually, holy shit, that's a really good way of putting it. Yeah, it's like, yeah, this entire thing is going to be limited as fuck, and we're going to tell you where to go and what to do the whole time.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's a really kind of realistic bummer. Military thing, probably.
I don't like MilSim games. Sim or squad sim. Squad. Squads?
Squad.
Squad. Just squad. Just squad, yeah.
Squid.
Squad is about as close as I want to get. Or like War of Rights or.
What was that? Rainbow Six? Not Rainbow. Was it Rainbow Six Siege?
That's the like.
Was that the one where it was like 5v5?
Yeah, attackers versus defenders.
Yeah.
Bomb plant.
Yeah, was that that one?
Or
was that,
I think Rainbow they have Hostage Missions.
Was that what that was called?
Yeah, they have Black. Yeah, they have like all. It's the hero tactical shooter.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Well, not the hero. It is that one that does the like plant. What is it? Plant diffuse.
Search and destroy.
Search and destroy. Thank you. Shit.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, honestly, it's a classic, and it's honestly one that I was intimidated by when I was. Well, not, I mean, younger than I am now, but not that young.
You mean Search and Destroy?
Or as a whole, mean, the genre.
Yeah, as a whole, yes. Yeah. I loved it from a younger age. Because I like the tacticality of it. Not that it's a military sim, I guess. But true. That it's more tactical than your run and gun.
I do, too. And I think the only reason that I've really strayed away from playing a lot of games like that anymore is that I can't... I'm never good enough to like solo carry, and I don't get to play often enough that I can consistently play with a lot of the same people to develop good team play, and then I'm just at the mercy of global matchmaking, which is an atrocity.
See, and I always liked it in like a public server.
See, Counter-Strike is probably the only one. And that's because that game has beat me down so fucking hard.
Call of Duty,
that I am numb to it anymore, and I'm just like, I know I will probably get shit stomped, and I might also go on a fucking tear.
See,
but that's not why I'm playing this game.
The difference with, I feel like, Call of Duty games when you're playing Search and Destroy. In the older ones, that's where I really love it. I love Call of Duty 1, like the actual COD 1, not. Yeah. Modern Warfare, but actual one.
Actual one. Actual, yeah, one. God, dude. If they had just named them in succession,
yeah, it would,
I think we all would have preferred it. Like, we know it's another Call of Duty game. It's in the name. It's the one after.
So, after that, it felt like when you were going on to Search and Destroy servers, or just, like, you know, hopping into a random one, you were playing with people that were wanting to play that.
Yeah.
And it's like a side crowd. So, whereas in Counter-Strike, that's your main.
It's the main crowd. Gameplay.
Yeah. So, yeah. When you get into a game where it's not usually the main, like Team Deathmatch is Call of Duty, right? Like, that's.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah,
what 100%. It's all about.
Yeah.
And I love it too. But Search and Destroy is a slower pace because when you're dead,
you're dead. Yeah. You're just sitting the rest of the round out. Yeah.
And then you can sit and learn.
And that's one of the reasons why I never liked it. I felt like the. Like, I just wanted to get in there and shoot.
Yeah, and you don't want to wait.
And yeah, I don't want to wait. I don't want to think. I went like, and I really liked the classic TDM style of gameplay.
Yeah.
And that could be in something as crazy as like TF2. I did really like Halo, and I really liked Call of Duty.
I miss TF2.
Yeah, dude, TF2, and I know it's still going.
But yeah,
I'm just like.
And I think I saw something about how, like, there was enough of a public outcry from the community that, like, they went in and, like, had, like, fixed a lot of issues with it.
Yeah.
Because bots.
People are still playing it so hard.
And things, like, took over the game. And so I loved, you're talking about sniping in the Call of Duty game. I love sniping in TF2. That is my favorite.
Oh, damn. Conversely, I could never do a lick.
And you get into
shit.
Sniper fights, and that's when it gets really fucking fun. You're like, I don't give a shit. You know, if I can get that heavy knocked down a bit and help the team out, that's great. But this dude, I'm going to take the fuck out. And then once you take that sniper out, then you start getting a bunch of free kills. But you got to start taking, you got to be able to get the sniper out.
Yeah.
And then you, what will always happen is someone that's like pretty good at sniper won't be playing a sniper, but they'll see their guy getting their ass kicked and they're not helping cover it all. And they're like, motherfucker.
Yeah, well,
and
they'll switch I'll over
and you start getting stomped on. You're like, oh shit. Okay. I got to pay attention. You're actually,
oh, shit.
You're actually good. You're as good as me. Like, they'll see like a sniper at the top of the scoreboard.
Uh huh. They're like, okay.
And they go, all right. Nuh-uh.
Nuh-uh. Yeah. Those are, they're good games, man.
They are.
And I've been, I've been craving like a new permanent fixture in the game space that I can really just latch onto and that can just become a timeless classic.
A new Quake would be sick.
A new Quake would be fun. Squeeze, man. Yeah, I've got an itch for games right now that I'm having a hard time scratching. And kind of to the point where I'm just like, I've started a lot of games recently. And like, to be fair, I have been jumping back and forth between them and like an hour here, an hour there.
Right.
But like, I am probably playing like 10 different games right now. Just very, very casually.
That's how I am with books right now. I think I have like 7 that I'm doing the exact same thing where I'm like, I'm not that into any of them.
Yeah.
But I'm just like,
oh, put a little bit of that one and see where that one's going. Yeah.
And then like Minecraft has sucked up a lot of my time.
Dude, Minecraft. Yeah, Minecraft is a good one.
But I think I'm at a limit now where I'm like, I don't know. I can see the loop, right?
Yeah.
And I just don't. I don't know. I'm still having fun. I like adventuring out and trying to find new weird things. But I'm also gotten so, you get enough like where you sleep see
behind
somewhere.
The curtain a little bit.
And you're or like I run into things where I sleep somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and then you have a map on you, so it's okay. So you can find your way back. And then you get killed.
Yeah.
And then your respawn is now BFE.
Yeah.
And you have to try to figure out your way back.
Yeah, when you get to a point where you have blocks. To start over completely and you're like,
in a totally new really place. Like, do I really enjoy this that much? Like, cause yeah. that, and once you do it like 2 or 3 times, you're like, oh, this is the game.
Yeah, the loop is the this. Point. This get is as far it. As you can and hopefully not dying, but you will.
And then eventually you're going to get a cool base going. And then refinding an old base is the funnest, coolest thing.
That yeah, no, that is totally
that
fair.
Is so satisfying. You sleep in that bed and you're like, God, it's good to be home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go explore my old mine some more, you know.
Yeah, and dude. Like, oh, dude, visiting like your ghost bases, dude, is honestly so fun.
Yeah.
I No Man's Sky. Did you ever get into No Man's Sky?
I didn't, but I am aware of it, yeah.
So Alyssa hadn't played it, or hasn't played it, I guess still. And we talked about it to the point where like I re-downloaded it so I could log in and show her some shit, and like it's been so long since I've played that game I couldn't remember how to do things like navigate or go to A to B, and I spawn into what is basically like a star base and I'm like, okay, well I'm in like the limitless galaxy or like, you know, existence of everything. Could be on all my shit. Could be on any planet, in any system. Like I have no idea where I am. Like, I don't remember how to travel. And I'm like, there's portals. So and thankfully, I had built all of my portals and power systems to run on solar, so all of the shit was still powered years later. So I apparently at the time when I played this, I was like really missing Colorado. Because I named all of my bases after places in Colorado. So I had, like, Fort Collins. And then there was, like, you know, the town of Suck Me Boys. yeah, just spattering.
Like, aw.
I had a bunch of Colorado shit in there. I was like, that's weird. I don't think I played it that long ago.
No.
But who fucking knows? Anyway, just revisiting all that shit was really cool. I shouldn't give a fuck about any of it, but I was like, oh, dude.
I remember trying to get into that with you, and I couldn't really get into it. I enjoyed Elite Dangerous. That was not even really similar, you know, only in the space travel.
And the space travel, but there was a lot more realism. It wasn't, Star Citizen levels of realism. Actually, no, one would almost argue that Elite Dangerous is more.
Did I tell you I overheard a conversation where some guys were talking about like glitching out of the ship or something like that. Like I heard some guy talking about some issues with this game and how like old IRL it is. Or... Yeah, the bar.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I'm like, yo, are you talking about Star Citizen? The guy just actually laughs and he points at me and he goes, see, that's how broken this game is. This guy barely overheard the conversation and he knows what game I'm talking about. He's like, have you played it? He's like, no, I've never played it. He goes, that's my point. That is exactly, he's like, he's like, I've put so much time.
And probably money.
And money into this game. And
trust,
you lose.
I also really
ship that's become this crazy investment and it just glitches out and it's gone.
Just boop.
Boop.
Yeah, the game is, it is so, like, when it works.
Have they gotten sued yet?
I have to imagine, dude. Right. I have to imagine they've been sued up the ass.
But maybe it's part of the contract.
Yeah, I was going to say, they also probably have some
like
really
that. I agree. You click, and
contracts.
I agree. No one reads that shit.
But I don't read that shit. I heard some crazy statistic one time that suggested that if you were to like actually read through every single terms of usage agreement or whatever,
yeah,
that a normal person should, you know, come across on average. I don't remember what the number is. Astronomical.
Yeah.
It is tens of years off your life. Like, just sitting there and reading legal documents.
Yeah, I'm not doing
fucking that. Ridiculous.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Like, that's so funny. It's so, like, people have put up this argument all the time about, like, when you bring things up of, why can't you feed the homeless with food that's being thrown out? And people always bring up the thing about them suing somebody. Or something along those lines. And that argument always gets brought up of someone getting sued. And it's like, do you realize most people cannot afford to just sue somebody over
it's expensive. Dude, everything is so expensive. I hear about broke-ass people suing and winning money, and now they're loaded. And I'm like...
And I don't think business...
What a
really
gamble.
Like,
but, like, you have to be... Like, the older I get, the more that I understand the things that didn't make sense to me when I was younger. Like, the credit system, which, to be fair, doesn't make any fucking
sense. No, it doesn't. It's stupid.
It's just a scam. Anyway, not trying to get so political. But, like, I remembered, like, hearing about shit like that where, like, yeah, these people who don't have a fucking dime, they're constantly getting new things and nice things. And I'm like, I grew up poor. Not, like, destitute, but, like... We didn't have shit.
Yeah.
We were fed, and that was dope.
Right.
I was fed very well, obviously, but the self-depreciation. But just, I'm getting older, and I think I finally get it. Like, you have to legitimately be to the point of insert the neighbors that we had in the trailer park.
Yes.
In Fort Collins.
Yeah.
You have to be that type of poor to, I think, be... Because a normal, like, logical person says, I can't afford to sue somebody because the risk is so high, the amount of debt I would incur if I don't win the case. And, like, there's some pause there. Those people don't give a fuck. They're not paying those bills anyway. Like, no fucks. Zero fucks to give.
But those people never would have won a lawsuit in their lives.
Oh, the neighbors?
Yeah.
Dude, they...
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're a judge and you see this fucking tweaker and his, like, girlfriend's sister come in. And they go, yeah, probably not. Probably going to side with the business that's been in business for 10 years now.
I'm probably going to side with the people that I can't smell.
Yes, absolutely. The one that wore shoes. Yeah, the shoes. I don't remember their names, but I'm siding with the guy in his shoes.
I'm siding with the gentleman that very much more likely owns a toothbrush. Yeah.
So when we started this episode, we tried to do... a Mickey Rourke impression.
We did, and
you did a great job.
Hey, thank you.
I did not.
I just like curled up and did like my little, not my little girl voice, but it's my little enough of a
your
boy
sweet
that
voice.
It could be confused with a young girl voice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't get that.
You know.
Do
what
you?
I mean?
So I just want. Let's get into Rumblefish.
Right? I would love to get into Rumblefish. I am genuinely, the like me not finishing Rumblefish in the large amount of time that we leveraged for ourselves, it is probably one of my greatest disappointments of 2025.
It should be. It should be. It was a great film. It was,
to my credit, I really thought it was just going to be a repeat of The Outsiders. And so I really just could not.
It's like a continuation. It's like when you watch, you got halfway through. So you've heard already. So this film is based on the book by S.E. Hinton. Once again, S.E. Hinton makes an appearance in this film, and S.E. Hinton is a cutie.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
Wait, who is she?
She is one of the like prostitute chicks that tries to grab Steve. When they're she like comes down the stairs and all kind of fucked up, and she like she's in the background like messing with his shirt and stuff.
Holy
and, like,
shit,
the two brothers are talking. Yeah, that's her.
Okay. Yeah,
because like I said, so she's 16 when she wrote The Outsiders,
which is
she's 15, she's 16 when she writes Rumblefish.
Oh, okay, that's wild.
Yeah. And
one, like, impressive.
Tulsa had to be a fucked up place.
Dude, I don't like factually know a lot of information about Tulsa's history, but I have family that lives out there. And they live outside of Tulsa, but like, and I haven't been there in fucking years. But I remember like dipping into town as a kid. Nah, dude.
Really?
Fuck Tulsa. It's just,
is it Tulsa, Oklahoma? Is that
what? Yeah, Tulsa, Oklahoma. And it's a big place.
Yeah.
But it's an industrial nightmare, in my opinion.
And that's and like, what, I mean, that's what
I also
what
grew up in, like, Fort Collins in its prime before it was.
Ugh. I mean, still, it's still really nice compared to anything, like, what's portrayed in this film. Like, yeah. Oh. So you get to the point where all of a sudden, I mean, yeah, I feel like from the moment, I could be wrong. So if you haven't seen Rumblefish, we're going to try to avoid spoilers. Ed hasn't
Should
seen
we?
It.
It is. I want you to spoil it. Okay, one, I deserve it. And two, I really want
our
to
our reputation is also spoiling things. So
yeah,
you know
fuck you. It's a 50-year-old movie. If you
it's not 50. It's from the 80s. Okay.
Sorry,
so
it's
like
a 45-year-old movie.
Okay, whatever. So
my fucking bad.
Rumblefish is, it feels a lot like a continuation on from The Outsiders. It's like,
especially
a
given our
to
chronology
it.
of what we've been watching very recently.
Yeah. And,
but also, yes. Well, it's a more adultish, like, because
they talk about the Rumbles. They talk about the old Rumbles.
Yeah, this is like in the immediate era
following
like
that
the,
era
these
of the
gangs
outsiders.
Of
because heroin has now hit the streets.
Yeah. Oh, and it's
and
tearing shit up.
People just don't fucking.
People don't fight anymore because they're strung out.
And there's no loyalty, and they're too strung out. And
got
the streets are just
tweaker bones.
You can just see people like on the streets, you know, laid out around places, and they're drunks and they're also junkies. And Matt Dillon plays.
Oh.
Well, let me get it. Okay. Rusty James.
Yeah,
Rusty
James.
James, whose name is said well over 50 times in the film.
In the first minute and a half.
And then you've got our boy Nicolas Cage is Smokey.
Smokey. And Smokey's kind of a little fucking bitch.
Smokey's. But
he's also got stones.
He's making the moves that you make as it. So that's one thing I'll spoil for you, because I'm assuming you didn't get to the part where he steals his girlfriend.
That's exactly where I made it to.
Okay,
he's getting dressed down outside of the soda shop
and,
or whatever.
You know, he breaks it down in a very, you know, he's the way he goes, Smokey, you can never be your brother because your brother is a thinker. He's a, you know, he's a leader. People will follow your brother.
You don't have the book smart.
You're not. You'll just get people killed. You'll just lead people into a blind fight. And he's like, and he goes, you know, maybe I didn't realize. He says, maybe I did do it on purpose where I invited the girl over to tell your girl that you were cheating on her.
Yeah, what a setup. What a setup.
But it was real. It's not really about that. It's about the gang. You know, and he says it's like either way, whether it was you or not. But when he says that, obviously it's got to do with him being him, because it's about him taking over control of the gang from him.
Dude,
from
Smokey, that was. Or so from my biggest Rusty. Beef with The Outsiders was the over the top display when it came to this portrayal of machismo.
Yeah.
And like, just, but you know, the more you and I talk about it, the more I actually really liked it, because like it felt comedic. And also knowing that Hinton was 15 young. At the yeah, time when yeah, she yeah. wrote these, you know, 15, 16 when she wrote these books. That flavor of one general inexperience and naivete, definitely like a lot of some of these interactions and experiences make a little bit more sense, especially again in Outsiders where it's so drawn out and it's so over the top and yep. so nonsensical. But then, you know, but then you and I are having this dialogue about how, well, yeah, but that only like that forces me to come to the conclusion of just how absurd these fights are
and all
the,
of it
the
is.
Decisions and but also like oh like well fuck is this just a commentary on the ridiculousness of you know gang warfare and just this mentality
or does it go in deeper
yeah who knows right. And that's one of the but things that I love
also
about
by a 15 year old so she doesn't even necessarily know
yeah
at that point right but when you're like how deep your story is going
yeah right no it's very it feels weird it's a tad bizarre in that sense. But there's this really strong, I would say undertone, but it's really an overtone oh. of romanticism. And it was super strong in The Outsiders, especially from Matt Dillon's character, where right. he's just this, he doesn't make sense. He's too over the top. It doesn't make, he doesn't fit. Everything else feels justifiable, but he's so aggressively way left
yeah.
on everything all the time. And it's so much and so over the top. And there's still a strongness behind that flavor
oh, yeah.
in Rumblefish. But like then you have those moments like the scene where, you know, he confronts Smokey and they're straight up talking. He's like dead ass having a conversation about how he calls him out. He's like, hey, you fucking did you set me up so that my girl would leave me and then you could swoop in and pick her up? And he's like, maybe I fucking did.
Yeah,
maybe. And he didn't stab him and go crazy.
No.
And like, he is still unhinged and crazy, but it really eked out this, like, romanticism that this young boy who's slowly getting older, but without his, like, active male, like, role models and mentors in place, and he's just kind of figuring his own shit out. And he's, like, kind of at the, like, that higher echelon of influential people in within his circle, like he is the top and people look up to him
yeah
mostly because of like he's in the his shadow of his older brother
right.
who was a god
yeah
and then there's that scene where they're waking up like under the pier or the boardwalk or whatever
right.
it was and he's all fucked up
he's
got
all
beat
fucked
to shit.
Up he got this shit beat
yeah
in
he
with
got
a
this
crowbar.
Fucking shit pushed in you know his brother came and saves the day yeah tire iron yeah,
yeah
to the face
yeah,
God, damn, that
well,
brutal.
That's where he dies.
Yeah, he dies.
So wait,
he
let's
whole...
back up. Let's
yeah,
back
okay,
up.
Okay,
all
okay.
Right, all right, all right. So at the very beginning, I mean, pretty quickly in, they come into Tom Waits' character's Benny's bar. It's a pool hall.
It's, yeah, it's a pool hall.
Billiards bar, whatever.
Dude, did you get, sorry, Sin City vibes at all?
A little bit, but more so what I got was David Lynch.
Ooh, fuck.
I got heavy David Lynch vibes.
I see
whole...
that. David Lynch. And like just randomly I'll get like a whiff of like heavy noir.
Oh, yeah. The whole thing. Yeah,
but like
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just.
Boom, well, so here's what I want to talk to you about and see if you notice that from. So early on, there's a guy that wants to kill Rusty James.
Yeah.
And so they're meeting up at this underpass for a fight. And Rusty beats the fuck out of this dude.
Beats the brakes off this guy.
But then his brother shows up. You know, and the motorcycle kid is his brother, and he used to be the gang leader. And since he has left, now Rusty's kind of taken over. But also, there's not a whole lot of a gang to take over anymore because, like we said, those days are pretty much over now. And that's
yeah.
what they all keep telling him. Like, this isn't.
Yeah,
like
we're not doing
anymore.
This shit
anymore.
Anymore. There's no gangs. There's no rumbles.
And Steve is there to stop romanticizing it. He's like, it's not what you think.
Yeah, his little bookworm buddy.
Yeah,
he's just a little nerd.
Yeah,
I
but
loved
he sees
Eddie.
So logically, you know, as like we talk about with how ridiculous it is. And he sees it. And so his brother shows up, Mickey Rourke.
What a fucking character.
Oh my God. What an actor. I've seen Mickey Rourke in newer things. Have you seen Mickey Rourke?
He's a rough looking dude.
He's a rough looking, like over Botox.
Young guy though?
Young Mickey Rourke. Good looking.
What a
dude.
Fucking
oh my God.
Stud,
I wish
bro.
I see why Rusty James wishes he was his brother through the whole thing. Because
dude,
like
and
what
they constantly compare him to
oh,
him
yeah.
too.
And he's just suave, man. Like, he just that cigarette hangs from his mouth.
Dude,
he talks
Dean
really
Martin
quiet,
levels
like
of fucking
is just so smooth, and he's got that smile, but he's also terrifying. Like we said,
he is a true psychopath. He
scares the. I want to know what he actually did. You never find out.
Fuck.
If you're wondering.
I really did think that was the case. And like he's a monster.
Yeah, because he goes in and beats the shit out of those.
He's always late. At least as far as I got, he was never there in the front of it. He just comes up and silently cleans house.
Yep.
And then like the way he's he never steps in before his brother gets hurt. His baby brother. In the opening scene where we get introduced to him, it's really
because
early
on. So he gets stabbed, right?
He gets his brother shows up and causes a distraction. Yep. At which point the bad guy gets up
with the glass and
hacks him with a piece of glass and like rips open his abdomen.
Yeah,
and like he swoops in and he's so tender.
Yes,
and like overly affectionate with his brother, but like in a physical way. And again, I think we talked about like this idea of brotherhood and empathy and general emotion and emotiveness in outsiders, and just this idea of like this blatant machismo that is toxic and is killing kids. And then you get this tender side of it, but it doesn't feel organic or natural, in my opinion, with Rourke's character.
I thought it felt so like brotherly, like, yo, but he's very like,
it's weird,
you can feel that there's something, like you just always feel that there's something like off about him.
100%.
And so
it feels stutter steppery.
I wasn't sure, because he fades out and then comes back in, or like things get weird from the moment he gets stabbed. From that time on, I thought maybe he was dead, right?
That's fair.
Did you notice the smoke increase?
Yeah, there's mist on the ground.
There's mist. There's smoke. There's always an insane amount of smoke coming off of the barrels that have fires, you know, on the outside for the bums. And like, there's times where there's just smoke just like flying out of places.
When they
go into that coffee bar, or they go into a bar or something, and it gives that shot of, I don't remember if it's the two brothers or who's sitting. I don't remember who's sitting at the tables. There's some people sitting at the tables, and then there's the tables behind them. And the tables behind them, where the ashtrays would be at, like up against the wall, there's smoke machines just like fucking pumping smoke. I mean, and like just an insane amount. Like it obviously on purpose, you know, with that much smoke.
Oh, for sure.
The scene where his girlfriend and him break up and she's running off into this unexplained
dust storm of sorts. Or something?
Like, is it just because you're an industrial city and so there's just always this
zero
like,
explanation?
Smog, smoke,
and it,
like,
we also haven't mentioned it, but like the cinematography, well, I think maybe we have mentioned it.
No, we did not.
Okay, cool. The cinematography of this movie is astounding.
Well,
it is delicious.
The black and white is such good taste.
That's actually where I was specifically getting the Sin City vibes from.
Yeah, and like,
is there any other display of color other than the beta fish?
So you get pretty close to the end. If you've seen the beta fish, you're past. Well,
at the very beginning, they flash the beta fish.
Oh,
it's in a painting shot when they're walking on the street.
Oh,
or something.
Okay. So there, it's also later on, because Mickey Rourke's character gets really obsessed with these fish. And
can he see their color? By the way,
no, he can't.
Okay.
But they show
spoiler,
it,
he is colorblind.
He is colorblind and he's deaf.
And yeah,
but it doesn't seem like he's actually deaf.
I think for the plot he is, but
It seems like he listens to the conversations that are going on.
Well, I felt like that was intentional. Like he is a silent, broody, observant type, and like that is the clear disparity between him and Rusty James, who is the over the top, aggressive, loudmouth, who's in your face, confrontation. Big Brother Rourke, just super quiet. He speaks softly. You have to strain to make out what he's saying, which is annoying as fuck. And it's just really impactful. He has such a soothing, almost baby voice.
It feels manipulative. It feels like, but it also at the same time, it feels like a guy who's gone through some like he either was in prison or he went through some kind of treatment or something.
The way he spoke in roundaboutedness.
But then you meet the dad.
Oh, fuck.
And
dude.
The dad, when they have some, did you get to the part where they have a sit down conversation about the mom being crazy?
Damn, no. Which I know about mom and older brother.
Yeah.
He dipped out to California and
went and saw supposedly her. Went saw, to go see
his,
her.
His, their mom, who I think they were told was dead.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah. Or
at least
she was gone and they just thought she was dead or something like
could
that.
Could be, yeah. But she definitely walked out, basically. Yep. And dad is a raging alcoholic. Like,
but so did you get the part where he finds out that his dad wasn't a drunk until she walked out?
It wasn't until she walked out. It was until at one point it sounded like, because there's that scene where Eddie, the nerd kid, Rusty James, and then...
Not Eddie.
No?
Steve.
Oh, fuck, Steve. Why did I think Eddie? Because, is there an Eddie?
No, it's your name.
It is my name. I just like it a lot, I guess.
Yeah, but yeah, Steve,
Rusty James, and then what is his actual name? The Motorcycle Boy.
Motorcycle Boy, I don't remember now.
He does have a name, though.
He does, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, look that up. But
yeah.
They're walking down this... it almost felt like they were in New Orleans, you know, or something like that. But like, you know, they're just in town and like the streets are popping. And
yeah. People they're on like another side of the river is what it is.
Yeah. They cross the river and shit's popping off. It's like the weekend or whatever. People are going crazy and they're just popping into shops, doing random shit, walking in the street. But Rusty and his brother have this discussion where brother opens up that he went to California and met their mom. And he discloses that at some point, I think the mom took the older brother with her.
Yep.
And then that's when dad started drinking. He went on like a 3-day bender.
Yes.
But he left Rusty James as a baby or as a toddler all by himself
all
for
by
three
himself
days.
For 3 days.
And that's like,
why
that's
he's afraid
why
of being alone.
You're afraid of being alone. And he's like, why didn't you ever tell me? And he's like, well, I didn't think it'd do you any good. And then, oh, man, dude.
Man,
and
does just, that fuck him up.
It fucks him up.
But I think that'd fuck anybody up.
Yeah,
like,
that's tough.
That's tough. That's but so they have that conversation. They have a conversation where they ask he asks his dad, goes, "Is mom crazy?" And he goes, the line, you have to watch the scene. It's so good because I'm not gonna be able to quote it right. But he basically says, you know, it's not that she was crazy. She was like, she's really smart. And she has a really acute perception of the world. And when you have a very acute perception of the world in a world like this, it will drive you crazy.
Damn.
But she's no crazier than your brother is. Your brother's not crazy. He's got the same thing. He's born in the wrong era. He's on the other side of the river. His mind, you know, he has all these different metaphors. Because like he says this and Rusty gets pissed off. And the whole time you realize that Rusty got neglected and he's held back a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the intelligence that his brother and his dad have.
No.
Because his dad is a really intelligent guy.
Yeah, but he
has
drink,
these conversations.
And then
he's just drunk.
The interactions, when you first meet the dad comes home and like...
Well, first day, he just passed out drunk on the bed the first time you see him.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he's just passed out in the room.
Oh, I didn't even notice that or recall that. My first introduction was when he came home after Big Brother's back, and they're both just sitting there, and he walks in, and it's as like, you know, watching it for the first time, it felt tense, but then there's clearly this dynamic between the three of them where like they still rib each other, but there's like still true
raw love there. Yeah,
which I didn't really expect. I expected a lot of like grudge type angstiness, and there was just pure love
like
in
this
there.
Is
and
just that, my, this is my family.
This is just this what, is what I have, have, and I'm here for it. And like, yeah, and I thought that was really fascinating. But then, it's so disconnected from what I think most people consider to be a structured like home and family, and like
I mean the beds are on the floors all over.
Oh,
and like,
the whole
the place
it's a
is
shit
trashed.
Hole.
It's just
it
probably looks like they're like squatting somewhere.
Legit, honestly, something I would expect from like a squatter, and this is their home, and like this is just what they live in and thrive. Well, maybe not thrive necessarily, but like
yeah, this it's is just their function. Existence.
And it's just so crazy to see the three perspectives, you know, of each of these three men. And I really hated Matt Dillon's character in Outsiders because it was just so over the top and so. In my mind, like, sure, maybe you didn't come, like, you don't have a lot of experience with anything, anything remotely having to do with emotional intelligence and addressing one's feelings. And yeah, maybe that was even rare, you know, in the time.
Yeah.
But come on.
Right.
Like, you know, and this character, Rusty James, is very much the same. But there's like a lot of weird growth and counterbalance to him. And it's.
Did you think that when he got stabbed or when he got hit and dies? Because he gets hit, right?
And has like an out-of-body experience.
He floats and he sees these people experiencing his death. I thought the movie was over. I was like, are you fucking kidding
yeah,
me?
Yeah, I was like, oh, the kid dies and
oh
that's it?
Oh, my God. What this a was fucking a short letdown. Movie. Yeah, and then it goes on. You know, he survives that, but he is forever fucked up. And it's almost sad because though I was thinking partway through the movie, I'm like, is it about to be that Rusty James is the crazy one and that his family are not, like, it's not necessarily the way that he perceives things? But then it isn't. It doesn't come down that way.
Okay.
So what ends up happening
does Rusty die?
No, Rusty doesn't die.
Really?
His brother dies.
Damn.
Yeah.
I figured one of them would die, but I thought it was going
to
be Rusty.
And, like, he totally sets it up. He knows what he's about to do. It's like almost suicide by cop, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, where all he right. So he's obsessed with these fish, and he's like, I think that if the fish were in the ocean or in the river, if they had room, they wouldn't fight. Because these rumblefish, when they're in the tank together, they'll kill each other.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why they're all separated by glass. And he just keeps going in and looking at these fish. And so at one point, he, like, steals a motorcycle, and they go on a ride together. And at the end of the ride, he stops there, and he tells his brother, he's like, what's going to happen is I'm going to take these, I'm going to go put them in the river, and you're going to get on my bike, and you're going to go to California. And so
damn.
He goes, and he's taking them, and the cops are there, and he shoots him. And the cop, it's that same cop.
Yeah, the right? one that keeps showing up.
Yeah, and puts him down, basically. You damn. Know, and so Rusty runs over and puts the fish into the river, and they all swim away, and they don't kill each other.
Oh, damn.
And so then it shows, like, him, he gets on the bike, and you see his shadow. Like, his shadow goes past the, at the very beginning, it says the motorcycle kid reigns.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And he rolls past that on them, and you see his shadow go past it.
Oh, shit.
And, like, that's the end of the movie, and he shows the credits, and he's at the
beach.
Dude, it is so good.
It is such a good movie.
It is so fucking good. Like you said, the cinematography, I didn't realize, I guess, I hadn't looked
I took
yet.
It for granted at first because I just, I didn't catch it initially for what
it
what I realized
so
it really
cheesy.
Is.
It starts out, so they say Rusty James, like you said, 20 times.
And I was like, oh, brother.
And Tom Waits' character, Benny, is ridiculous.
Like,
but
what
he does
even?
Have like one really redeeming scene where he talks about time. Did you get to that?
I don't think I got to.
Oh my god. And so the whole movie, there's so many clocks in the movie. The clock time is a big fucking thing in this
film. I never noticed the
clocks. There's a clock in so many scenes. There's a clock in the foreground and the background in so many different shots. There's some that are just directly of a clock, and it's all about time. You know, he's supposed to meet up with them at the fight's at 10. He's supposed to meet up with them at 9:30.
Yeah, he wakes up at like
9:45. There ends up being, like, I don't remember some of the other, but they all have, there's all these different, like, they bring up time a lot. And then it loosens a bit, like, you know, when the school, he's in school and all that. And, like, it just, like, there's a lot of different ways where time gets weird in the film. And some scenes, like.
Shit, now that you mentioned
yeah,
that.
Yeah, some scenes take longer and some scenes cut more time. Like, it'll give you, like, okay, we're cutting a very obvious gap of time from this scene to this scene.
Yeah.
But now from this scene to this scene, it feels like there's been a bit more time that's gone on between
these
characters.
Oh, that's such an interesting. Yeah, because sometimes we're on a schedule.
And it's all about running out
of
time. Yeah.
That is so interesting. I love that. I did not
pick up on
that.
Like, the whole gang life is going out of time. Like, it's all, like, everything that they're about is like.
Yeah, I was really obsessed with the. One, I feel like this directly calls out a lot of the beef that I have with The Outsiders.
Oh, yeah. It totally does. And because it makes it, it gives it reason.
It gives it reason, but like I really empathize with Rusty James. Like, he just, excuse me. Like, you see him working his job. Like, you see him in such a stark contrast of, like, backgrounds where, like, you know, you see him interacting with his girlfriend and she's in school and very young and fair and he's harsh and crass and wears a fucking wife beater with a leather.
Right.
Like, he looks terrible. He looks like a fucking vagrant piece of shit.
Yeah.
And frankly, he kind of sucks. But, like,
well, and everyone doesn't. Like, no one likes him.
No Whereas one actually the, fucking likes
and
him.
And that's why, like, that's what makes more sense. So in The Outsiders, it doesn't make sense because people like his character a lot.
Yeah.
But in this one, no one likes him.
No one really likes
Steve
him.
Steve is his only friend.
Yeah.
And so...
God, and Steve is great.
Yeah, Steve is great. Really great. Yeah.
Like, what a homie, dude.
I was worried Steve was going to
Samwise Gamgee has like, competition. Yeah. as, like, supporting cast member. Yeah. They really put down on Rusty James for the things that you hate about his character.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, starts to open up and, like, granted, he has some wild crash outs and you're just like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, he does. All right. Well, I guess we're acting like a fucking 4-year-old. Cool.
Yeah. He hates that his dad drinks, but he drinks so much.
Oh, and then he gets called. Dude, Eddie just calls, or Steve. Goddamn. Steve just calls him the fuck out for it. And he's like, fuck off, Steve.
Have a drink, Steve. Shut up.
Yeah. Just making Steve be a vagrant also, which is hilarious because drunk Steve is fucking great.
Is Steve's dad the cop?
Oh, shit, is it?
I think it is.
Oh, goddamn.
Because of the way that Steve, he talks to Steve.
Well, in the way Steve talks about his dad, but never.
He's never.
Yeah. Ooh. And that would make a lot of sense.
Like, why he's able Steve to, like, run around and, like. Because Steve is
always prim and well-dressed and sharp haircut and very much like his seemingly militaristic, you know, father, supposedly. You know,
yeah, if that is the case. Yeah.
I could see that, though.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's so unfortunate that you never find out what... Because the cop brings up to Rusty. He's like, you don't know what your brother
did. You don't know what your brother did or what he was about.
And then when he says about how bad he wants to be... Rusty always wants to be like his brother. He says it so many times throughout the film.
Yeah.
And at one point, he says it in front of his dad. He goes, you should be so lucky that you don't turn out like your brother. And, like, I don't remember what he says exactly, but he says something about the evil things that his
had
done.
He's not he was clearly not a good guy.
Yeah, he's clearly the. I mean, if you're the guy running all a gang in this time where people were dying, and Steve asks at one point that, and I looked it up, it is just Motorcycle Kid. That's all they call him. They don't call him by a name. And so, Mickey Rourke's character, Motorcycle Kid, at one point is asked to tell him that, you know, tell Rusty that, tell him the truth.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't that great. It wasn't great. This thing that he romanticizes. Yeah.
And he does at first. And then he goes, but it was fun.
Yeah. No, he does. He's like, it wasn't all that or whatever. He's very, like, succinct.
But he also, he says such a great way. But then he eloquates
for like 5 or 6 sentences where he just talks about how he liked it. And it was fun.
Yeah.
And it was bad.
And some people didn't. Most people didn't think it was fun.
Yeah.
Most of them are definitely
like
Steve.
That is for me. Like he always had that kind of creepy psychopath vibe. Yeah. Because he's just so soft spoken, but then like has these not even passionate outbursts of violence. He just steps in and does work.
Yeah.
And then he's straight to like
his outburst gentle. Is walking away. Right, his outburst disappearing.
Yeah, he's not loud ever. He just steps in and fucks shit up, and then like he's like, "Hey, you okay?
Yeah,
hey, you're gonna be all right." And like even when Rusty gets cut at the very beginning, you know, Steve is freaking out. He's like, "We gotta get him to a hospital. Like, he's gonna bleed out and die. He's gonna get infected." And like, yeah. Motorcycle Kid ain't saying he doesn't say a fucking word. He's just looking through all of the known stash spots at, you know, at the house.
Yeah.
Looking for a bottle that's going to be lying around. And then like, he like lifts up some panel and there's a bottle. He's like, hell yeah.
Yep. take a drink of this and let's sanitize it.
Yeah, and he just goes to work, and he's just that very gentle terror.
Sure.
And then, yeah, that scene where he's telling his younger brother that it wasn't that great, but then he can't help but also disclose that he was kind of fucking into it. That was when I was like, oh, fuck, man. He fucked some shit. He killed some people.
Yeah. He probably killed a lot of people. Like, he... But then, like, it almost feels like he did something worse. And I just don't know.
I definitely felt like there was a thing.
There's a thing. Maybe there's the thing was even thing, what... And that's why he left.
100%.
That's totally why he left. He
and did I also got the sense of, like, this journey of atonement.
Absolutely. That's what I was saying, too. Because he's like, that's why he's so soft-spoken. Sort? Like, he's done, some soul-searching. He's like, obviously, like I said, and you figure out too that the dad is also well read. They make a mm-hmm. comment about the Greeks that I also didn't understand the reference.
I didn't either. But I'm sure I've read a lot of shit about the Greeks.
I'm sure it totally makes sense, but it didn't hit me. And you can see why it pisses Rusty off.
He's so upset.
Because, yeah, you guys are like, why do you talk like this around me when you know I don't know what you're talking about?
Oh, there was that other that was, there was that one scene, and I can't remember what the thing was, but he makes a reference that his brother doesn't get, and so he explains it to him, and he's like, ha, "I'm so smart, and you didn't even get that. That's crazy, because you're the smart one." And then his brother's just like, "Yeah, that doesn't make any sense."
Yeah,
like, and it's very dismissive.
Yes, it is.
And, like,
yeah,
he just gets really upset about it, and I'm like, "Man, fucking poor Rusty." Man.
Yeah, poor Rusty.
And it's like. And not really even his fault. Like, no, that sucks. Like,
especially as you find more and more about Rust. Like,
yeah, like they were a totally normal family until mom Rusty. Left and then dad. Yeah, and then basically it, like, wasn't Rusty's fault.
No, he just takes the brunt of all of it,
and yeah, he just turns in, he's just this.
Yeah, he's a mess. Yeah, dude.
The drag of society.
Yeah,
and not of his. Ooh. I love bringing this up because fuck you and fuck your lit class, but, like, nature versus nurture, it's, I mean, damn, like,
yeah,
brother got all of the good shit about, you know, their upbringing, and Rusty didn't, and all Rusty sees is the shit side, and his brother, used, like, who was smart and capable and profound even, and then just is like, I'm going to be violent.
Yeah, I'm going to use it for the worst and then kind of things.
His little brother just looks up to him and romanticizes all of these things that he hears about through his brother and just wants to be him so bad because his dad isn't a father figure right now. And then his brother just ditches him and comes back from California with all this fucking clarity.
Yeah.
Or whatever the fuck.
Closure.
Closure, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, because he went to go see mom.
Yeah, and just like, yeah, he's like taking off his, like, I feel like we're watching his bucket list play out.
It is, yeah, because, I mean, he knows he's coming back to die. Like, well, that is, maybe that's what it is.
It's Rusty's story.
Right.
I think it's the motorcycle kid's story.
Right.
Like, the whole movie's in black and white, but clearly it's color capable.
The whole reason it's in black and white. Yeah. Yeah.
And, like, the whole thing where he's like, he's hard of hearing and he mumbles. And it makes you as the listener, I'm like, I can't fucking hear what he's saying.
But that makes sense. So he talks quiet because he doesn't want to be too loud as a deaf person.
Sure. And that makes sense,
too.
So
that makes sense.
There's a lot of things that make sense, but, like, artistically, like.
Well, and like I said, he was obviously, like, doing it too quietly. One thing I was going to say that I didn't realize. Mm. Francis Coppola.
Yeah.
He did Apocalypse Now.
What?
And God, there's another really, there's, I guess, obviously a few big ones. And, sure. Like, we could go through the list and look at it. But he's, like, a director. He's a big deal. Like,
yeah, he definitely is.
Like, and so he's very artistic. And someone compared, I was watching a little video where someone compared that in the 80s, you have, like, really poppy teen movies.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have this one that was just, like, fucking hardcore.
It's pretty hardcore. There's some shit going down.
It doesn't feel, it's hardcore, and so Outsiders tried to be hardcore, but it was such a cheesy.
It was like if Disney made it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And then this one was, Francis Coppola comes in, and
it's not Gangs of New York, but, like.
Right.
I wouldn't necessarily say better, because Gangs of New York is really good, but, like, it's in its own class.
It's like an art house. Like I said, David Lynch comes to mind.
Yeah.
In so many shots.
It was really good.
Yeah, the black and white.
It is why people like cinema.
It is. It is like a cinema goer's, like, well, this is a very pretentious crowd.
Yeah, there's dude with his own little private theater who like does select showings once or twice a month, and this is one of the things you would find in there.
Absolutely, for sure.
Yeah.
And there's probably so many cool, interesting stories and facts about it.
Oh, I bet.
I guess that Mickey Rourke, I didn't do any research into it, but I'm curious about it. I guess that his career just like kind of crashed a little bit after this. Like he did it, like he's a kind of like self-destructive kind of way. But gotcha. Yeah, so he, but this was like, you can see that he had so much potential. And then he comes back later on in life and does like The Wrestler, and he's an Iron Man, and a few other big things. But you see this guy like this.
Dude, it's a little artsy fartsy piece, and it had me by the balls. Oh. I was super not expecting it. I'm, again, disappointed in myself for not having jumped on it sooner. Because I really wasn't expecting much, if anything.
I want to read this book. I told you, I want to rewatch it. It was good. I want to show this movie to people.
I love it. There's, like you said, there's so much attention to detail in like what, honest to God, feels like a cocaine fueled 80s movie, or not even 80s,
like Chicago Noir. Or not Chicago Noir.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Like
it doesn't look like anything impressive at all. Like, why would you care or pay attention to this movie? It feels like a very run of the mill of its
15
time.
15 minutes, like,
yeah, it's rough.
Yeah,
but then, like you said, like,
but it is also. Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
It's interesting, the like black and whiteness of it, because it makes you go, it's trying to be an older film or something.
Yeah.
But then they go outside, and it's the 80s. It's just like late 70s, 80s, right? Yeah. Like, it's not the like time maybe you're it's expecting. Earlier than that, but it's not as late back as you think it's going to be, because it's black and white. It's black and white because, like we said, he's colorblind.
Yeah,
like,
I think it was an artistic choice.
It was an artistic choice. Well,
clearly, because there is select color.
Yes. It gives it this like cheese, this certain ness to it, where you're like, oh, this is gonna be some weird cheesy,
yeah, it's
cheap 80s
you
film.
Get like, again, like I said, hated Matt Dillon's character until I realized that it was thoughtful. And then I'm like, what the fuck?
That's why I told Morgan, I said, this is, because she asked me when I told her I watched it, she goes, how was it? I said, it's good. And she didn't really, she goes, I don't believe you. And I was like, no, it really was, like, I'm not just saying that, like, it was a good movie. It was interesting. And she goes, oh, so it really wasn't good. I was like, no, I don't mean it like that.
No, I mean like genuinely thought-provoking.
Intriguing, thought-provoking. You're going to be thinking about this for days to come.
Yeah.
Weeks to come. It's going to be on my mind the name of it, Rumblefish, it's good.
Stupid.
Oh,
and then
it.
You understand
I love the
why.
Name Rumblefish.
And it's so, yeah. And, like, I hated the, like, again, all of the things that I hated about Matt Dillon's character are a fucking dressed, which, I mean, literally, like.
Yeah, any issue that you have, because I can't pinpoint any of that, but there are other things I do remember having an issue with. I mean, like, wait, that doesn't line up. And then, boom, they call it out, like, immediately. Yeah. Like, yeah, any.
Very
any
unexpected.
Gripe you have, or any, like, what the fuck was that about? There ends up being reason and explanation behind it.
They do something with it at some point, and. Ah, yeah, I really liked this movie.
Yes,
and it's a clean black and white.
When there's like the lighting effects that come in too, that like just like flash on them sometimes. Mm-hmm. It goes from like that dark contrast to all white, monotone, I guess is what
sure,
you almost
yeah.
call it, right? Like, oh, it's cool.
Yeah, the
the other color scene that you asked, I'm gonna tell you, there's one other scene where there's color. So they walk past the fish are color.
Yep.
When they're in them, there's another color, like where the fish are color. When he, there's a part where his brother, so after his brother dies, right, they go to try to like arrest and like search him, and he like pushes these cops off and punches the window and breaks the window, and as the window breaks, it's color for a second.
Whoa.
And then it's, yeah.
That's
like he's in color.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Huh.
The music was so cool too.
The music was fantastic. And like,
That's also where I got like Twin Peaks, David Lynch.
That's totally fair. The music was weird because, again, felt goofy and out of place at first.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just like...
When he dies and like floats out of his body, that music that comes on is just so like, yeah, you're like, this is it. This is the end.
He's dead. The kid died.
Holy fucking shit. Yeah. It moves. It directs you exactly where it wants you to go. It's so well composed.
Yeah, this is one of those situations where, like, I feel like the asshole who's standing in line and just saying, oh, I already know what to expect. This is going to be shit. This ride isn't going to be any fun. Here's the gimmicks. And then the whole way, like, 3/4 of the ride are spent with me preaching to everyone about how right I was and how fucking stupid and kiddish this is and this sucks. And then the whole thing just handing me my own ass and then me getting off the ride and being like, that's the best ride I've ever been on.
That's the best thing I ever experienced.
And then just, like, everyone else being like, this fucking guy.
Douchebag. Like, we told you.
Like, oh man. Genuinely, like, I feel so it's a weird feeling to describe. It's cool though, and not something I was fucking expecting on our, you know, journey to watch all of Nicolas Cage's movies.
Yeah, I know. I forgot as I'm watching this that this is a Nicolas Cage. That this is why we're watching it for Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, first time I saw him at the beginning, I was like, oh, Nicolas Cage. Cool. And then forgot about him. And then he came back and I was like, oh, fuck, Nicolas Cage is in this movie?
Speaking of which, what is coming up next on our list here?
Oh, I had looked it up and I forgot about it now. Yeah, no, I don't remember at all.
Do I just spell his name wrong every time? Yes, I sure do.
Nice. I was going to say, usually I don't have to worry. I forgot about how much stuff I have to worry about when we're not like recording at the house because I just have like the tabs open all the time.
Man, there's so many movies. Man,
I know. He's insane.
All right. Rumblefish. Racing with the Moon.
Maybe I hadn't looked this up. Racing with the fucking Moon. Is it a love story?
It's 1942.
Oh. What the fuck?
Yeah, I mean, two guys wait for their induction to the Marines and say goodbye to their girlfriends. It's going to be a fucking drag.
Who knows, dude? Maybe it's another gem.
It's not. It's not. Let's be honest, dude.
God
it's
damn
not.
It.
We're not going to get
and
that
this,
lucky.
I blame this mentality as the reason why I didn't give Rumblefish, you know, the time that it deserved, because.
Yeah, God I'm gonna damn, watch so it. That's, I mean, I'm not gonna do it last minute again for
no,
sure.
No, I will definitely watch it sooner. I will probably watch it twice, like
and then,
at the beginning.
So
and at the
also
end of time.
Another thing that I was thinking about.
Yeah,
I thought about this a while ago, and I'm curious if it crossed your mind as well. We don't have a generator with us for a random game.
No, we don't.
And we did not discuss at all.
I didn't think about it. You and I had talked very loosely about a handful of different things that we could do.
Not being a DS game?
It not being a DS game, or just saying, like, realistically, time is short. We should just play the games we want to play instead of, like, holding them off.
Is there a game that you want to play? That, as you say that, that comes to mind?
I didn't give it any thought.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm a bad podcaster.
So... if there's anything that comes to mind that I would like to play, DS related, that is a hard one. I just got, remember I picked up for my birthday, Radiant Historia, and also a much simpler one. What was the other one? Puzzle Quest.
Puzzle Quest.
Puzzle Quest is a great laid back game.
It is.
Probably great to play on your phone. Probably have a version on your phone.
Did they have Balatro on the DS? I'm kidding. They definitely didn't.
Have you played that game yet?
I have.
Oh, yeah, so you're pretty hooked on it then?
I
haven't played it. I'm sure I would get hooked on it, but that was one that I didn't get.
It is really good. And it has that pick up and put down at any time, because it will just at any time you're like continue and it's like yeah right where you left off.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is really nice. Do you know the concept of the game?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's pretty good.
I started playing Cards of the Universe and everything or whatever it's called.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Maybe I do, but
Cards of the Universe and everything. Something along those lines. Q-C-U-E is what it's called.
Q-C-U-E? That sounds aggressively familiar.
So it's like a card. It's like on your phone. It's a card battling game.
Okay.
But it's just the cards are everything. I mean, just anything in the world that you can think of. Like spaghetti can be a card.
What the fuck?
The famous people, pop culture things. And then depending on what stage you are, certain things have a stronger effect than other things. So if you're in a rainforest arena, all of your like lizard things get like a bonus. And like your like land animals all get bonuses. If you're in space, like your astrology things get bonuses, like your spaceships, your constellations. I mean, fucking literally.
Is this like a TCG style game, but it's like literally cards with everything on them?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And it's a pretty fun, basic battle system, but I can see how it could get kind of in-depth because some cards have certain bonuses and they affect other cards that could be in your deck.
Yeah.
Because the decks can be, you can make so many different decks, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. A friend of mine has brought it up to me and it just looked simple and intriguing. So I've played it a little bit and I could see it being addicting.
That's fair. Damn.
But I've
never heard of that one.
Like, you're talking about TF2 just makes me want to play TF2 so bad now. That's what's on my mind.
Damn. Yeah. You know what I thought about the other day? Because I was like, man, I miss playing games with you.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't mean DS games. Like
Far Cry.
We didn't. I know. I think about that one a lot because I see it at the top of my list all the time. I'm like, damn, we never finished Far Cry 6. And then I see
Tribes.
Tribes 3.
Yeah, I've been thinking about Tribes a lot lately. I've been
thinking about that one.
Tribes been sitting on my mind for sure.
It's a good one.
I might do that tonight.
Yeah. That'll sound fun.
How was your days off? What did you play on your days off?
Days off were good. Okay, so again, like I said, I've been dunking into a bunch of different streams.
Because you're playing COD, right?
Call of Duty?
Yeah, not the one we were supposed to play.
No, not the other one. So I picked up a copy of COD at some point. I think Dylan and I played like maybe a total of, so far, maybe 3 hours of multiplayer. But I mostly got it because I wanted to play the campaign.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Call of Duty campaign slut, honestly. Yeah. Like, I think they're all pretty great. And they're not the greatest thing ever, but, like, they're good. And they're solid. And, frankly, I'm a little nostalgic. So I like them. A little bit of that. Haven't finished the campaign, FYI.
Sure.
And I picked up the Xbox Game Pass for PC because it's cheaper than it is for Xbox.
Yes, yeah.
Which is sick. Because I can't really, I mean, I could afford, but I'm not affording to buy a lot of games. So
that's a good way to do it.
This is. So I'm still getting access to a lot of stuff, but I've just been ripping through a hodgepodge of random indie games and like walking sims. And like, you think of like your typical like 4 to 5 hour playthrough. You know, type shit.
Sure.
So I've been ripping through a handful of those and then just dipping my toes into some bigger streams.
Did you ever play a story about my uncle?
No, I think I have a copy.
Did I
of
say
it.
Did I gift it to you or something?
You might have. Did you see that I gifted you a game recently?
Yeah. What was it? Cause we,
Haste.
No, you gifted Dementium 2, but maybe you also maybe I
this was very
up.
Recently oh, this I was a, probably Steam. Within the last actually I gifted it to you on my birthday.
No, I haven't opened Steam in that amount of time.
Well, awesome, because I am so excited to tell you that it is and I made the comparison in my gift note on Steam, but it's as if it just came out, I believe, Dragonfly and what was it? Like Sonic had a baby?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, dude. More Sonic, and I'm thinking of like Sonic in terms of like the open world version.
Yeah.
But it's like a roguelite, and you're ripping through different worlds, and The entirety of the gameplay system is based on you in a 3D environment ramping hills.
Oh.
And dodging.
There's, so it's like tribes. There's a tad of
bullet helliness to it in that you're dodging and navigating around things. Oh,
sick, dude.
Dude.
All right, so we're going to play then. Haste.
Hell yeah.
Puzzle Quest or Gradiant Historia?
You pick.
I'm down for the RPG. I'm down for some Radiant Historia.
All right, Radiant Historia.
So we got something chill to play, something intense to play.
Yeah.
And then we are watching...
Oh, you just said it. Something about a moon.
It's not about a moon, is it?
Yeah, it has the word moon in
it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Racing with the Moon.
Racing with the Moon. Yeah, yes. Boom. Shakalaka.
Yes.
Yeah. That's some good homework for the next month.
Yeah. Month-ish, right?
Month-ish, it yeah. We're doing... We're vibing at life's pace.
That's right.
So apologies for the inconsistency of our deliverables, but fuck you.
Fuck you and thank you.
Fuck you and thank you. Yeah. We have fun. We owe it all to ourselves.
Yes, we do.
And the people that support us.
Yes, especially the people that support us.
And you, dear listener.
Thanks, Morgan.
Thanks, Alyssa. Hopefully you save me some pizza.
All right, are we going to call this a wrap?
Yeah, I think we call this a wrap. This was a good one. It's been good hanging out. We'll do this again at the bar and next time with video for sure.
Hell yes.